Lord God has opened our ear, and we've not been rebellious, nor have we turned backward. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. We just ask you to give us unction in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. This is your meeting, your gathering. We thank you for in advance for the great things that you've done here in our midst. And we give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Philippians chapter 3. And the Apostle Paul is going to be teaching us tonight out of the Scriptures. And I'm reading out of the Amplified, so mine's going to be a little more wordy. But I really like this this passage here, 10 through 15. There's a lot of meat in here for us. But a lot of it is just very directive. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I don't know what everybody's goals are in here in terms of your walk with God. But the Apostle Paul had a purpose. He was determined in his walk with the Lord. And it's something I think that we need to hear here because it's all about something that we need to take on ourselves. He says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding." Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may some way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, and that I may also share in his sufferings as to be continually transformed in the Spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible I may obtain the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead even while in the body. Not that I've already attained this idea or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of and grasp and make it my own, that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me his own. I do not consider it, brethren, that I've captured and made it my own yet, but one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. It's a powerful scripture, and break it down, like especially in verse 10, the first thing he says is to know him. Not just facts about Jesus, but personal intimacy, relational experience, deep fellowship. So that's what he's talking about there, his determined purpose was to know him. And so that's one of the wonderful things about Jesus is we all have a relationship with him. And you're in control of that relationship in the sense of how much time you want to spend with him. You know? And if you don't have time with him, you start to need to schedule some time with him. You know? Because it's important to have that alone time with him, because that is where you get to really know him and to hear his voice. See, God is always, and I always say this a lot, the Holy Spirit is always communicating to you. I mean, he communicates to you all the time, but you hear him sometimes unknowingly that you're hearing him. But I want to tell you that as Jesus knew when the Father was talking to him, he mirrored that relationship. That means he wants us to be able to know when he's talking to us. Because I think a lot of times he's communicating, and he communicates in a form of thoughts. And sometimes those thoughts, just we don't recognize or identify them as him. But you can get to that place where you actually know his voice and you hear him. And you wake up in the morning, and I would submit to you, what is the first thing that you are listening to when you wake up in the morning? It should be his voice. And you can do that. You can actually write that and put that on your mirror. In fact, I think I'm going to give an assignment to someone like that, but you know, you could do that. You could put it on your mirror, and you could see that in the morning, that I'm going to hear from God before I do anything today. I know that one thing that I know that when Nicky came out here from IFC, it's funny, his dad used to tell him, he used to come out and get breakfast in the morning, he'd send him back in his room and said, you do not come out of your room until you have a word from God. He had to go back in there. If you knew his father, Satish, you'd just know he's, and that's just how he lived. And of course, Nicky, he'd been in his room for hours just trying to get a word from the Lord before he'd come out. I think that's why Nicky stutters a little bit at times, because his dad just had him that. But there's just an intensity, but he's a phenomenal teacher. But that's so true. You know, in the morning, what is the first thing that you hear? And you have a choice with that. You can decide. I mean, you're probably hearing the alarm first, just because like mine went off first. But actually, I get up a little bit before my alarm, and just sit there and just listen. He unfolds my day for me. It's really wonderful. And so I would just encourage you to have that power of his resurrection. Talks about to know the power from his resurrection, the same spiritual strength that raised him, enabling you to live a new life and overcome the world. Spiritual strength, there's power outflowing from his resurrection. You know, we're really strong in the Lord. It says, then the scriptures tell us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of might, of his might. And so you've got spiritual strength inside of you, but you have to tap into it. And the problem is that we have flesh, that we live in fleshly bodies, and flesh gets weak. Jesus said himself, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so it's one thing to realize that where your strength comes from, is because sometimes what we don't realize is we actually are pulling on natural strength, people that have a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm and things like that. But spiritual strength from God, it's eternal. It's something that's always resident within you. And when you know how to put a demand upon it or call upon it, it's there for you. And so we want to walk in spiritual strength. That's what Paul's exhorting us to do. Sharing his suffering, sharing in the hardships that come with following Jesus. Don't you know that there are some hardships that come our way because we follow him? I mean, people think we're weird, we're strange, we're different. You know, it's just we don't run in the same crowds. I mean, you know, we're just different. We're peculiar, you know? That's one thing I really liked about Christianity, because I was kind of a weird kid anyway. I fit in with all the Christians, because there's a lot of crazy Christians out there too. Don't be a crazy Christian. Just, you know, we got enough right now. Let's try to wean that out. I mean, let's be some, you know, we should have some wisdom beyond, you know, this world, right? And I think sometimes we get so excited about God, and we so much want to have an experience with God, that sometimes we get into gatherings and meetings, and we put on a kind of a spiritual mask or whatever, and get kind of crazy sometimes. So just try to don't be a crazy Christian. See, if you didn't learn anything tonight at all, you went out here and say, I'm not going to be a crazy Christian. You can say that to yourself. You can talk to yourself, and that would be good, all right? So, so, yeah. But sharing in the sufferings that come with following Jesus, seeing that as a way to grow closer to him and understand his heart. So sometimes, and we suffer in many different ways, but you know, it's one of the things I think that Jesus, you know, one of the sufferings that we go through is that there's a lot of people who are just lost, you know? I mean, there are a lot of them. And so I'm encouraged, just because you come here, I know that people, when you leave here, that you're going out to people that are lost and confused, and you're out there helping humanity. So I just pray that God would just strengthen you here and equip you and kind of charge you up to go do that. It's always exciting to hear about how people are praying for the people out there. Transformed in the Spirit. This is all in verse 10. It says, dying to self and worldly pursuits, to live a life surrendered to God, surrendering to the Lord. Is there anything that needs to be surrendered to God? You know, but there's different parts of our life. It's interesting how the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. He lets certain things come up sometimes to let us know that we need to surrender that, you know? That's another part. You know, you think like the more you know, the better it is in some levels. But the more you know, the more you're aware where you need to go, and the more you realize that it doesn't matter how far this thing goes, you're always going to have a need for a Savior. you're living in a fleshly body. And some of us, I think, want to have flesh casted out of us, but it doesn't work like that. You know? I mean, have you ever asked God to take something from you and it just doesn't go? And you wonder why? You know, because it's a process. And then other stuff goes immediately. I remember getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. I couldn't even listen to music. And when I went home, everybody thought, well, how weird I was. So, you know, here's a guy, they had all these albums, and I just gave them away. And they go, why in the world couldn't you listen to music anymore? I said, I don't know. Something happened. Something got burned up in me where I couldn't just listen to music for a while. It was really strange. And then I weaned myself back on some old country gospel, something I would never listen to, you know. And I'm listening, and then I'm thinking, I've lost it, you know. But God wanted to burn that out of me for whatever reason. You can listen to music. I'm not trying to convict people in here. I'm just saying that with me, that's what he did right away. And there are other things that just, but then other things, it just like, he just overlooked. You know, why didn't you burn this out while you had me there, you know? So some things are a process, you know, and we lay things down before him. So it's okay to go through things, because I think God, what he does is he shines lights on us in the area of our attitudes. You know, those are the big ones, right? And the perceptions that we have. One of the things I heard the Holy Spirit say last night to this lady I was ministering to is the perceptions that she had going on in a specific situation, and God had to counter that in her life. And through words of knowledge, he pointed it out and shined the light on it, so she was able to see what she was doing and what she had to do to surrender to God. And so it's like that when you have the relationship with God, when you're spending time with him, he's really spending time with you because you're his child, and he enjoys the company of his children. You know, I mean, 1 year ago, I used to really have a hard time with everybody laughing all the time because people were laughing. I didn't believe in it, and they started happening in my meetings, and I'm like, I thought, what's going on here? You know, happened in one of a home group years ago. I think maybe you might have been there, Alexis, and no one ever had laughter before, and all of a sudden just happened in our home group to a couple people, and we didn't know what it was. You know, but, you know, when you're up there preaching and everybody's laughing, it's difficult because you're not laughing. You're like, you want to, like, get... Would these people stop this? What's going on here? But the Lord kind of said, you know, well, you know, what do you do when you get John around? I said, you know, you tickle him, don't you? And he goes, I'm just playing with my children. And so that's the kind of way to explain it to him, because it's kind of goofy. You know, you don't realize it. And then I'll never forget, I was down in Florida, and Wayne Williams, first I met Wayne, you know how Wayne is, kind of a hard guy. And Wayne has passed recently, but... a guy referred me to him, and he said, like, he goes, Ty, I just want you to know I don't like prophets. And, yeah, that's how he started out with me. I go, okay. I go, well, I if that's what you think I am, people call me all kinds of things, but you can call me something different if you want. You know, if you like me better, call me something else. And he goes, but God told me that you can come, so, you know, it's okay. So I get to his church, and he's in the back. He's this big old dude, you know, and he looks like he's an ex-convict. I think he was. Was he an ex-convict? Yeah, he's an ex-convict. So he's a big guy, and he's intimidating, and I get up there, and you know what happens? The laughter hits. Not only is it hit, people were crawling on the floor trying to get out, and they were stuck to the ground. And I mean, I've never seen anything like this before in my life, and I'm sitting there going, Lord, what are you doing here? I mean, people were getting healed and stuff, and then people were laughing, and they had nothing to laugh about. So, I mean, the Holy Spirit was doing it, but he just took over. He just, you know, God just does stuff. And I'll never forget this guy just trying to crawl out, and he couldn't get out. And Wayne would not stop the meeting. I kept trying to call him up. I said, come up here and please take this, because I could hardly see at the back. It was like a thick cloud came in this place. And so anyway, became friends after that. But Wayne was this kind of guy that you couldn't give him a word. If you gave him a word, you had to hang up the phone after you gave it, because he'd just like get mad at you and says, I'm not going to listen to a word by a prophet on the back streets of Columbia. But I'll never forget the last word I gave to him. I said, you know, Wayne, your mandate is to be on the road. And I gave the word, and he was getting so mad at me, I hung up on him. He went on the road every day. Ever since then, he was gone. Went to Australia, and he'd been on the road. Great traveling preacher. I wouldn't call him a pastor, though. But anyway, that's another story. Let me finish this off so we can get X up here. Sorry, X, I went down a rabbit hole. One thing here that I like, and I'm going to finish with this, is Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward what lies ahead. Forgetting what lies behind. The Apostle Paul is saying that to you and to me, to forget what lies behind. Why would he say that? Probably because a lot of things that hold us back are things that are behind us. And what, how they hold us back. I mean, they hold us back because some of the things behind us were wounds, people that hurt us, situations, things like that, that had an impact on our lives that, you know, in a negative way. And I think sometimes it's necessary to forget those things. Now, if the Lord can forget things, surely we can forget them. And the thing is that God chooses to use his power that way. And he says, I will forget, I will blot out your sins, I will remember them no more. And he said that to us. And so, you know, when we get in front of him, I don't think he's going to bring him up because he doesn't know him. He chose to do that. Now, God is all-knowing, he's omnipotent, he knows everything that we've done, good and bad. But if he chooses to forget something by his own divine power, it's gone. And I would submit to you, if you have problems forgetting something, maybe you need to start spending some time in that scripture and forget. I mean, what a nice power to have. You don't hear people coming up like, I want the gift of forgetfulness. You know, but it is a gift sometimes. Some people do need to forget, I think. And forgive, of course. You got to add that on there. So just a little disclaimer. But yeah. But anyway, so I just want to encourage you tonight that if you got something that's really been on you for years and have not quite shaken it, I'm just going to believe that you can forget it. I mean, if it would be nice to just, you know, bury that thing forever, amen? So attitude is important, and with that, why don't you come on up, brother?
Thank you, Jesus. We serve a good God. Amen, amen. Amen. Before we begin, my dear friends, I do want to share with you, dears, I know that many of you also have prayed for our ministry. I do ask for your continual prayer. This year, the Lord has been good. We have just come back from Dominican Republic. We are looking into going back again to Venezuela. Venezuela now has become a harvest. We have worked there in Venezuela since 2012. But unfortunately, in 2015, our visa was revoked by the government. And now we have the possibility to renew our visas to go back and plow our not only the roots that we have established there with some of the pastors' network, but there are so much to do in Venezuela. In the position that they are right now, the pastors are saying that the churches there in Venezuela are overwhelmed of how many people are gathered together, to the point that they're looking for empty buildings just to put new pastors to fit people in, because there are many other churches are having 3 to 5 services a Sunday. So be praying for this revival that's occurring, and we want to make sure that we go over there and plow the grounds with the pastors as well. There's a little work, many work there. And that's where we got Colombia coming up as well that we'll be ministering. So I've asked Todd if it was okay for us to bring our envelopes. We do have our envelopes there. Just see me afterwards. If you feel led to sow and partner with us for these missions, you could grab them. You could take it with you. That is fine. You can mail them out and just place here not only prayer report, but place it where you like the mission to go. It will be Venezuela or Colombia of South America, and I will appreciate your support and your prayers. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the word that was presented. I pray, my Lord, that this seed of your word, let it be rooted in our spirit, and that will bear fruit for many years to come. Speak, Holy Spirit, for we're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was in Miami, we were doing some meetings there, and I remember my family lives in Miami. As we were gathered there, we were spending a time just with my parents. We're sitting down, drinking some coffee, eating some Nicaraguan pastries that there was imported in. And as we were there meeting, there was a knock on the door, and a lady was there. She said, "X, I know that you're with your mom. I know that it is, but I want you to know what has occurred." And when I saw her, I could barely recognize her. 3 years prior, she had taken lupus into her body. The lupus have taken over her body to the point that her entire arms, both of them, from the elbow all the way to the front, has become like rubber. It has changed colors to that from light skin to dark skin, and she couldn't even move. She said that for now, for those 3 years, with dealing with lupus, she wasn't even able to hold a toothbrush. She couldn't wash her hands. She couldn't cook, and she was diminished to the point that they said, I'm sorry, but you will die. And with the desperate need, there and there, no church, no service. There was not a beautiful worship department that we just experienced now. It was just my mom, it was the lady, myself, and some Nicaraguan pastries that were getting cold. And I said, you know what? What if we do believe Jesus right here in this living room, that the Lord will touch you and be healed? And as I began to minister, the Lord brought me to this great passage that many of us here know of. And we know as the woman with the issue of blood. And we're going to be staying there in scripture. And I want to share with you what the Lord taught me regarding this woman. Go with me, my friend, to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And we will begin from verse 25 and on. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 5, my apologies. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark 5, 25, and he states, and now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. So she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Verse 27, and when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him. Let's stop there. One of the things about this woman is that she has spent for those 3 years, many are now only going through one doctor to one doctor and kept saying, you're getting worse. The insurance began and stopped and says, I'm sorry, we will not cover any other procedure. Just accept that you're going to die. This woman has been 12 years with this bleeding, and now it comes to the point that, again, this woman spent everything that she had, and again, it was getting her worsened. But then there comes a moment in our lives that we will have to choose what we're going to believe. But before we go to Jesus, just like this woman, something must happen to us. And that is, we must compound the faith of who Jesus is. And by doing that, you must hear who is Jesus in the first place. Because many times, many go to church and they hear. And we know that faith comes by hearing. So this woman, before she went to Jesus, she had to hear about who and what is at the area of Jesus. I know one thing that I love in this passage is that we find that even in Mark 5:27, when you look about, she heard about you. So the question is, what was it that she heard? That could have been that she heard how four friends opened up a roof and brought down a paralytic, and Jesus, with his compassion, healed this man. Can it be that she heard that a leper was there going around and asked if you'll be willing and the Lord touch a leopard? Can it be that the Lord was outside of the common world that says, well, just take it because that's how it is? There is, my dear friend, is that it also is important for the Christian to believe. Why are we asking or seeking God? It's not simple just praying to the Lord. Lord, you know what is going on. If I like your healing, by your stripes, I'm healed. Let me tell you how I believe this woman occurred. She says, I hear that Jesus is coming, but I also have heard that the Lord has done this and the Lord has done that. And she's trying to figure out, what is it that the Lord has healed that I have an issue with? Can the Lord also stop this flow? Rearrange my blood flow, rearrange what's happening in my body and restore it. And I believe that this woman was here. Well, the Lord not only healed a leper, the only her opened up the eyes. So he has not only power to forgive sins, but rewrite and restore the function of the human body. This woman says, hold on. That means that Jesus could rewrite the flow of my body. This is a natural thing. Going through the menstrual cycle, it's natural. So the Lord can just restore it because he was the original designer of the woman's body. So if he could do that, because he did it, he could just simply rewrite it. The deal is that when we want to receive healing from God, it's also important what we hear. So you could sit down and say, well, you know what? I also hear, and by hearing, I gain faith. So I compound the faith, but you also could compound unbelief. Because if the doctor tells you, well, you got a little spot right there in your liver, and you go home, instead of opening up the Bible, you open Google. You're like, what does it mean to have a spot in your liver? And what happens when you begin to consume? What happens to your faith? All of a sudden, now it's encountering unbelief. Because you're intaking, you're hearing unbelief. You're hearing sickness. You're hearing, and as you hear and you intake, is how you go to approach Jesus. Well, Jesus, this is normal now. Jesus, everybody. Everybody's getting this. So it's a season of it. So it's okay. Right now, we're entering into a season of spring. So in spring, what happens? Well, you know, we know that weeds come up and pollen come down. Thank you, Jesus. You know, but in spring, it's new beginning, and you must accept. You must accept what you want. So be intentional of what you hear. You want to know about the power of God? Then you open up the Word of God. Say, Holy Spirit, speak, for I'm listening. So then you enter into Ephesians and read Ephesians of how you have delegated authority according to God's word. You open up into the Gospels and see the heart of God, that he is compassionate to heal all sicknesses. So it is important of what we hear. So I'm here with this skinny woman, shorter than I, completely broken because it was told that she was going to die. And I brought into this word unto her. I told her, I want you to go and hear every single thing. Instead of figuring out how lupus have killed many people, figure out who the Lord has healed from lupus. Because there is power in testimony. And when we decide to seek testimony, all of a sudden we put wood in the flame of faith. We put inside and we begin to believe. We begin to absorb. We begin to pray. And now when we come to Jesus, we know he can, because he did. He did. And not only from the Bible, look for those that got healed yesterday. Look at those that got healed last week, last month, last year. Go to look for those and seek. Because if you do seek, like people seek, those that unbelieve, you could seek the power of God that's happening today. The news, you're not going to get it from the news. You have to be intentional to seek what God is doing on earth today. And then you could go to Jesus. Because now your faith and expectation has rerouted you to just accept. Just accept. Well, my children, especially my son, he's not here today. He just came back from work. But when he goes to my refrigerator, he expect some food to be there. Right? When I took Tiffany, and let's say we go to Disney World, she expects that when she gets there, she puts a little mouse hat, she's going to have a great time. Right? Expect. And an anniversary on my wife's birthday, right? She expects. She already knows. I actually already texted you last year what I want this year, right? So it's an expectation. Well, you know what? The Lord already knows. It's all here in the Word of God. And how we approach Jesus is how we find to get the preparation of receiving. And if you go to Jesus, just like this woman, received. So I sat down with her and I told her, I want you to go and research. So we prayed in the blood of Jesus. We had communion right there at him. And she left. and says, when you're ready, as we pray, just accept God. We pray, we rebuke, and we cursed lupus from the root within her blood. And we commanded her body to be restored in Jesus' name. After we prayed, the Bible tells us here about this woman, that she came behind him, and the Bible says, it goes within her, it says, and she heard about Jesus. She came behind him, verse 27, and the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So what she heard, she believed, and now she took the risk. Know why many Christians don't come to the front or go to a prayer and says, you know what, I need healing for this? Because they're not there yet. So what we do is we prepare to go there. And that's okay. That's okay. There's no such thing as a super saint. We're all walking the road with Jesus, and we're all learning, and we're still growing. But there's going to be a moment, my dear friend, that you have to believe it in such a need. The Bible says that she have heard, I guarantee you, she goes, man, if Jesus was here 12 years ago, he would have touched me. And yet some of us are struggling for the same thing. And we're asking the Lord, Lord, when are you going to heal me? Well, the Lord already has healed us. And it's a way of preparing yourself. So we sat down, just like this woman, and she goes, and when you go and you touch him, you must know it's ready. So she went to her house, and she said that she prayed, and she just thanked God. God, thank you. I believe it. And she started researching how the Lord has healed other people from lupus. And she goes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, she still could not. It was still off color, dark. Her hands was like rubber. Her lips had crawled. Her tear ducts had sealed. This is a evil disease from the pits of hell that must be rebuked and sent back. She was crying. And then the Bible tells us here that if only, she thought, only touch his clothes. Not even him, Jesus, praying for her. Just touch his clothes. And I love this passage because one thing I told her, this woman didn't want to be in front of everybody. Says, I'm going to be healed and tell everybody. And there comes a way of a testimony. But a lot of people want a show. Many people want, well, the hand of God and through a prophet. Or so. And I understand there are moments that we are seek healing. But this woman didn't want nobody to even know. Lord, you know. I want to tell you, intimacy with God is very important. Anybody can be a show when they come to church. Anybody could raise their hand, woo, and then fall down and roll, clean the rug, and go home. But I want to tell you this. There comes a moment in your life that you could stay very quiet in your room with nobody there, and Jesus will walk right in and sit down right next to you. Your intimacy with Jesus, you don't need the cross to know your name. You don't need He knows your name. The Bible says that when that happened and occurred and she touched his garment, the Bible says, and immediately, verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. When we read the scripture, we find how the Lord will move unto us, and immediately is now. But do you remember when the Lord cursed the fig tree? Did it fall right away? No, it was the next day that people were like, wow. But because it had to start from the root. The healing power of God, when it enters into your body, especially for this woman, the Bible says immediately she felt it. There was a shift. There was a shift, and she believed it. She believed it. Many times we come to the Lord and we receive it. It goes, you start feeling it. Then you go back and say, well, it didn't work. And that there, you just canceled it. Instead, you just say, Lord, I receive it. I believe it. But know that there is going to be restoration from within. I love miracles. Miracles happen to the point that Jesus glorified in such a way that people get healed. They stand up, their arms stretch, open eyes, praise God. But when it comes to the blood, when it comes to organs, you cannot say, oh, I'm healed from it. You could believe it unless until inside when you go and check it, feel it. But you're going to feel that you've been powered of God. She's going to say, well, I don't know. I have to go and check it. Instead, she says she felt God restore her. But it has to start inside. a belief system of ourselves because she already knew what the Lord has told us. John 10, 10, 11 says that the thief comes from expect to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, and I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. See, one thing is that God tells us I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Suppose that Jesus is the good shepherd. You will expect a good life. It could be torment. It could be tribulation. But that does not remove living a good life with Jesus. You could be even in a portion of an area where you're asking the Lord, Lord, I need you to break this chains. But you could stand with God and say, Lord, I could trust you. Because the Bible says here that when this woman entered herself, she felt in her body that she was healed with her affliction. And Jesus immediately, we know this, knowing himself, the power went out of her, of him, went unto her. He says, who touched my clothes? That wasn't even his hand. It was just the clothes of Jesus. And I believe that she herself told that because she, in that time, was considered an outcast, unworthy. And we think, now that's in the past. You know how many Christians feel unworthy in this generation? How many people have condemnation? Lord, I have had a such bad week. I have dishonored even in my life, in my past. And we feel like this woman that says, I don't even have worthy to even touch your hand. So I just touch your clothes because I'm unworthy. I want to tell you that even when you feel unworthy, look what Jesus did to this woman. The Bible says that he himself looked and knew him. The woman was scared in verse 33, but the woman fearing and trembling, knowing that it had happened to her, and came and fell down unto him. The whole truth, verse 34, and he said to her, daughter. Daughter. An outcast. A woman that risked to get stoned because she wasn't even supposed to be there. He said, daughter. Let's just fix this right now. You're not an outcast. Let's just fix this right now. You're not ashamed. I know what they say about you, but I know you and I call you daughter. Daughter. And I tell you, and it wasn't about Aaron. He goes, hey, daughter. No, he said it in front of the disciples. He said it in front of the Pharisees. He said about all those that knew her as an outcast. The one that even told her, you cannot even be here. And she crawled herself. He says, daughter. And I believe that Jesus went down and picked up this woman in front of everybody and looked into her eyes. And she saw the love of God. When this woman went back, the lupus went back to her house, she started reading the scripture and she said, Lord, I am your daughter. I have not done nothing good. I do not earn, but I know that you give me this as a gift. So I am your daughter. I am your daughter. And she began to put worship. And she started worshiping God as a daughter. Not as an outcast. Not as a sick, about to die woman. As a daughter of the living King. The one not only died for her sins, but gave her resurrected power because of Jesus' resurrection. And she said that there was a moment of holiness. Alone in a room. And she got in her knees with all her hands all stood shivered, different color. She placed it down and she began to pray, thank you, Father, because I'm your daughter and you have healed me. She had remembered, you have healed this person from this. I read that you have healed this person from this state and this country. Lord, you're still the God of miracles. The one that lupus must bow down. Lord, I thank you. And all of a sudden, she felt tears come down her face. She couldn't because her ear or her tear duct was sealed. All of a sudden, she got up and she noticed when she wiped the tears off her face, her fingers were stretched. And she goes, oh my God, my fingers are stretched. And then she got up and she went and she started going. She grabbed the toothbrush and she started brushing her teeth. She couldn't brush her teeth. Then she got in the shower and praising God and she started washing her hair. Something that she couldn't do because her husband had to wash it for her. She got up and she went into the refrigerator and she opened the door. And even though her color
were still there. Her hands were moving. Every function in her body. And then she grabbed everything. And when her husband went home, everything in the refrigerator was cooked on the table. 3 years that she couldn't cook. She cooked everything.
Because when she got there, and I'm going to ask the worship department to join me. The Bible tells us here that knowing, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And how almost, you see, many times we look at when we seek Jesus for his touch, what is tormenting us more than the affliction is having no peace in our mind. Peace has become today a commodity. Many people value more a peace of mind more than money. People have valued things and materials, and they realize that what they prefer right now is peace. Today, there's families that have choked themselves financially, so they downgrade. And you know why they're downgrading? Not because they don't like the material things. You know what they're downgrading for? For peace. They'd rather have peace than anything else. And the Lord gave it to her because of your faith. Because of your faith. And Jesus had there in that moment showed a power of God, of his compassionate love. Just like you and I are still children of God. And whatever pain and whatever things it is, don't you know that he is also the architect of our body? The one that can restore, that knows that little thing that is missing or that little thing that went off. Peace and be healed of your affliction. My dear friend, I want to tell you in today's time, you could believe many things of what you're going through and believe that that's your life, and that's a lie. You could instead say, Lord, I want everything that you have for me, because what he wants for you is more than what you want for yourself. The blessings of God is still there. It is a bread given to his children. But we have to prepare our mind. And what you consume from the news, from the media, from even our phone, we could feed that unbelief or we could feed the power of God. Because Jesus has not changed, my friend. He has not gone away. He's there and he's here right now. And I want to pray with you today, because there is a moment just like this. Instead of us going out and know, is it possible today? I want to tell you, it is possible today. The power of God is still possible today. The healing possible today. Do you know why I know that? Because his love is still here today. And as long as God's love is here, we could receive every goodness of God, including the healing power. When her husband came home and her children came home, they couldn't, that it was an incredible, you know what it is to see your mom standing there with a feast presented. Her skin has completely wound, and it was such a beautiful moment. She called me and called my mother, and my mother called me right back, and she goes, hey, we have to testify. And even the Christian station, CBN, it got so spread out through her family, through her church. Everything went out. It wasn't in a huge crusade. It wasn't with cameras. It wasn't nothing. She experienced the love of God in her room by herself, because she found out she was still a daughter. A daughter of a living God. And we just have to go back to those principles, those basics. Those that we said, Lord, I believe that you forgave me. And just because you also love me, I know that you will heal me. And the Lord has no problem doing that today. So as you stand with me, my dear friend, we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to take a moment just to worship God there where you are, because it's important. I want you to think right now. I want you to meditate of what God has done in your life. Look back and you could see His hand. If you look back, you could see what He has done and how He has intervened in your life. If you look back, you could hear the testimonies of others say, God healed me, God touched me, God changed me, God restored my marriage, God restored my finances, God restored my mind and give me peace. I hear it. And now, if you go back and you hear it, I guarantee you, your faith says, and if He did it for them, He will do it for me. He'll do it for me. Because she had to believe, am I not qualified to walk with Him? But it's not going to turn me back. It's not going to turn me back. It's not going to shame me. Because He loves me. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we take this moment, Lord, to honor You. We take this moment and said, Lord, that we choose to believe that You're the same God that does not reject those in need. You're the same God that does not look down on those. Instead, call them daughters. I thank You, Jesus, because You are still walking among us. You are with us. And You're still compassionate to Your children. That this that some of us are carrying, some of us are dealing with the struggles in our bodies, finances, or our marriage. Lord, we present it to You and we say, Lord, do it. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again, that we could testify of Your goodness, that we could testify of who You are in our life, that we could testify that You're the God of today, that we could testify. That we could testify. As we worship, let's worship. And now I'm going to ask you today, if you need a prayer of God, I say, for healing, if you need a prayer for restoration, maybe in your marriage or restoration in your mind, there's something that you're asking God, God, it's too much. I feel ashamed. I don't feel that I know. And today I choose to come to You. To come to You. And I take the risk to come to You. Because I know You're not going to reject me. Son of God, Rose of Sharon, Wonderful Counselor, Jesus Christ.